Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Welcome on to Grant and Danny right now. ESPN's terrific NFL analyst, Lewis Riddick. Lewis, thanks so much for a few minutes in D.C. We're the Commanders of the talk of the town. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Pretty darn good. It's fun to have a 4-1 football team here locally. We're not really sure what to do with our hands, Lewis, but what have you seen so far that you say, you know what, this isn't just something new. This is sustainable. This team is good.
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously a lot of that optimism and the shift from hope to expectation centers around Jaden and his development, clearly. I think there's no question that what he is doing as far as his development, his mastery of the offense, I shouldn't say mastery, his continuing mastery of the offense, his leadership, his efficiency is something that's definitely sustainable because that's who he's always been as far as someone who was willing to put in the work on the field and off the field, ingratiate himself to teammates, immerse himself in the playbook, and then he's just freakishly skilled. So, yeah, that's definitely sustainable. As they continue to build out this roster and continue to make sure that protecting him is sustainable, having him have weapons is sustainable, continuing to build out the defensive side of the ball so they can give him more cracks at it is sustainable, and keeping the infrastructure around him in terms of the coaching staff and the support staff that allows him to go out and execute, you know, making sure that stays as stable as possible. That's also something that's, you know, by and large up to the people who are in charge in Washington. So it's all sustainable. It's all something that can be built upon from here. And I'm sure that everyone who's in a position to affect that understands just how much it's not luck. Like they didn't hit the jackpot, you know, out of luck. Everyone knew all along that Chicago was going to take Caleb. They did the absolute right thing in drafting Jaden, and now, you know, it's off to the races with him. So, yeah, I think the shift is on, or rather maybe it's already taken place, like I said, when you're moving from, well, I hope we're pretty decent, to now I expect us to be pretty damn good. I expect us to put up points. I expect this young man to play well. I think that's well underway now. And that is a pretty good feeling.
Lewis Riddick on G&D. I mean, he's clearly the sun in this solar system. There's no doubt about that. But what about some of the other main characters in this story right now? I mean, you've been on the front office side at the, you know, highest levels and interviewing for GM jobs. Adam Peters getting his first crack. Seems like he hit a home run in his first free agency class. Dan Quinn getting a second opportunity so far. So good for him. I mean, it just seems like they're so ahead of schedule. Like, their press conferences, we're using words like rebuild and patience and time. And right now, they're one of the best teams in the league, five games in.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's part of the job when you're a head coach and you're a general manager is managing expectations both internally and externally. And I think that's because you want to be realistic, you know, as best you can based upon what you think the forecast of the future looks like. And it's always cool and always a lot of fun when maybe you shot a little low and then you wind up exceeding those expectations. And it's not because, like, again, it's not because it's luck, but because guys maybe developed faster, chemistry developed better, you know, within the coaching staff, chemistry developed better, most importantly on the football field. And, you know, then the conversation changes from, well, this is just a full-scale rebuild. Everyone temper your expectations. Everyone calm down. We may be lucky to be a 9-8, 8-9 type team, and then we'll hit it big on our second year. Everybody says that. Everybody tries to keep things, you know, on the down low, so to speak. But there's no doubt that, look, Dan has learned a lot from his first stint as a head coach in Atlanta. And then how he took some time, really, I mean, we talked to him about this when in some production meetings when he was at D.C. in Dallas about all the work that he had put in during the time off that he had between leaving Atlanta, becoming the D.C. in Dallas, and how he really, like, took himself apart metaphorically and put himself back together, analyzed every part of his operation, both as a person and as a head coach, and he thought he would be better for it once he got his next job. Clearly, that paid off. Adam Peters has been someone who's been around some of the best in the business as far as the whole entire scouting process, the evaluation process, the selection and development process. That's clearly paying off. And then, you know, then of course there's always that relationship part of it, which you never know how the hell that's going to go. You think it's going to go good. You think it's going to be something where everyone's going to act like a professional and everyone's going to be, you know, good old out of themselves into the team type of mantra, but you don't know. And see, you know, and you know what? I'll tell you what. See, even now that success has started to rear its head, so to speak, now you find out even a little bit more about what you've built there, because it's always at the extremes where you find out, or where you have some surprises and you find out just how strong your operation is. When stuff is going bad, that's when, you know, people fracture and start pointing fingers. When stuff is going good and things start to build, that's when everybody starts wanting more and more credit and wants to say, you know, hey, look, I did this. I know what's happened there. It's clearly been a collective effort, and they need to make sure everyone understands that and that they just keep pushing the way they've been pushing, because as you all know, as I know, I think as anyone who has studied NFL football knows, there isn't much better than winning in Washington, D.C. There isn't much better. It's been a long time. So I think they will do a good job of safeguarding that at all costs. And I'm just hoping that, you know, they continue to build and they continue to knock everything out of the park from A to Z, not just with Jaden, but from A to Z, because look, that town deserves it. That fan base deserves it. They suffered a long, long time. And now they've kind of got their prince of the city, like, in place, man. And it's, like I said, for me, from the outside looking in, that's pretty damn cool, man. It really is.
ESPN's Lewis Riddick with us here. He's on the call this weekend for Florida at Tennessee on ESPN Saturday night. Lewis is a guy who, you know, watched so much football and is an evaluator. Jaden Daniels has taken the league by storm, and it's been incredible here to watch. As an evaluator, though, putting your objective glasses on, what does he not do well yet? Like, what if there's a weakness or something that is relatively not as strong, what are you seeing there, maybe areas for improvement?
To be honest with you, look, I mean, I think those things internally, you'd have to be there internally on the grind with him day to day to really say, hey, you know what? I think you need to really work on this right now, because from an external standpoint and from what I know from going down to Baton Rouge and talking to the people down there and watching all this tape. And look, there's always – look, the guy's breaking records right now in terms of quarterback efficiency through the first quarter of the season, doing things that no one's ever done. It's hard to pick out some things and go, well, damn, well, you're not doing that really good right now. I think his command at the line of scrimmage, from what I can tell, is second to none relative to where he's at in his career. I think his field vision, his decision-making, his accuracy, short, intermediate, deep. No, who throws a better deep ball than him in the NFL right now? I mean, really, who throws a better deep ball? Who throws a better ball under pressure than him right now? I think he's clearly learned how to protect himself as a runner to where it doesn't look like Ole Miss 2023, where I thought, man, they're going to break him in half before the end of this game if he's not careful. So I think there's always going to be room for, can he operate even faster? Can he recognize things even quicker? Can he be more consistent with feet, hip rotation, arm placement, ball placement, changing speeds, you know, as far as how much he puts on it, how much he throws with touch? Of course, there's always going to be all those things. And some of that isn't going to be, you know, recognizable to the naked eye. It's all going to be things that, unless you were with him every day, you won't know if he's doing a great or if he's not. But look, I have nothing bad to say about the guy. I was all in on him from the time I started studying him. And I think right now, they just need to keep internally, you know, working in silence, keeping him on the straight and narrow, continue to work his craft. You know, Cliff just needs to keep him on the path that he's on right now, man, because he's doing historic stuff already. He's making throws right now that there isn't a quarterback, not a single quarterback in the league who's throwing a prettier ball than him. And he's doing it under some he makes some tough, tough contested throws where he's getting the absolute crap knocked out of him in the pocket, and he doesn't flinch. I'm not going to even try to pick out a bunch of things that he isn't doing well because the things that he is doing well right now, just ride him, man, and hope that the coaching staff continues him on the path that he's on right now, which I'm sure they will. They know it just like you guys know it, and every fan in Washington knows it.
Yeah. Pretty obvious. It doesn't take a scout, you know, when you turn on the games or turn on the tape to see what he's doing. You mentioned the coaching staff. Cliff Kingsbury's been incredible, and I didn't see this coming. And I was not a huge fan of the hire. In hindsight, looking back now, it seems like a marriage made in heaven. We have also seen, though, Lewis, and you know this better than we do, Kingsbury's offenses have gotten off to these amazing first half starts in Arizona and cooled off. Now, he didn't have Jaden Daniels at the controls in the past. But I guess I'm just curious for your thoughts on what he's been doing, because I mean, they're getting receivers wide open. They are running. A lot of this is Daniels related in the run game with read option and whatnot. Yep. But I mean, Kingsbury is completely reinventing his name in football right now.
Yep, he sure is. And look, I think just like we mentioned with Coach Quinn, you think Cliff hasn't kind of looked internally inside of himself and kind of deconstructed himself and put himself back together in terms of, like, what, how do I need to be better in terms of my preparation, my scheming, my strategizing, my execution on game day, my relationship with Jaden? You think he didn't learn a lot from what, you know, what his relationship was like with Kyler, what worked, what didn't work? Look, it's not like he doesn't have enough in his bag, so to speak, as to how to attack NFL defenses, how to make sure that his quarterback has answers for whatever is being thrown at him, whether it be zone coverage, man coverage, five-man pressure, six-man pressures, simulated pressures. You think he doesn't? He has all that in his toolkit. And clearly, his teaching methodology is one that's resonating with Jaden. And it's something that they've struck a chord. Now, teams are going to find ways to push on those sore spots that make Jaden uncomfortable, that, you know, kind of like expose some of the things that maybe he's just not quite as good at as time goes on. That's what always happens as you gather more intel. Then it'll be on Cliff to kind of readjust again. But the thing about coaches, just like players, is that not every play is ideal for you. It's not always going to be, and it doesn't necessarily mean that, well, now the die has been cast. You know, you've already kind of like created your mold. You are who you are. You can't reinvent yourself. You can't get better. We've seen that that is a big, big mistake that fans, media personalities, scouts, GMs, owners make. Is to think that people can't learn and adapt and improve. Same thing holds true for Cliff Kingsbury. There's a lot of people who thought, well, this hire ain't going to turn out to be worth a damn. Look at what he did in Arizona. Look at what he didn't do in Arizona. Look how it turned out between him and Kyler. Look how, you know, like, we've got to be real careful to do those kind of things, man, when we're assessing people in general, and then for sure when we're assessing people in such a team-centric sport as football. You can wind up making yourself look like and sound like a fool when you do that, because we know how things are on such a razor's edge in football, and how one place could be crap for you and the next place could be heaven. Just look at what's happening with Sam Darnold right now in Minnesota. When he left the Jets and he's talking about him seeing ghosts out there, you know, when Adam Gase was coaching him, everyone's thinking, this guy's a colossal bust. He'll never be worth a damn. He'll never get another shot. He may be comeback player of the year now. He may lead that team to the number one seed in the NFC for all we know. You know, so you got to be careful with that. And I think with Cliff, hey, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, just like people gave Dan Quinn the benefit of the doubt. He learned from his first go-around, and now he's got that place humming. So with Cliff, man, you know, more power to him. I hope he's able to keep it going, because he's in a great situation right now. It's cool. Like, he can go back to his roots of, let me coordinate and coach the quarterback, the thing that I probably know how to do best. And at the same time, what a great resource for him it is to have Dan Quinn there too. And say, hey, you know what? You could best believe in some of their private time where they're kind of just one-on-one. You think he's not picking Dan's brain about what happened to him in Atlanta and then how things benefited him when he went to Dallas, and now that he's a head coach again? Of course he is. So, yeah, I'm sure you're no different than many other people who were very skeptical of it. But, man, it sure is looking pretty good right now. And hats off to Cliff for doing so.
Lewis, got to grab you here about the news of the day. I was pretty stunned. I don't know how you felt about it. But Robert Saleh getting relieved of his duties there in New York, sort of, you know, ripping the Band-Aid. What was your reaction to it? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, like, it's the head coach bears the brunt of the blame when things aren't going well, just like he gets the credit most times when things are going right. And when you have a situation there where it just seemed like things were a little off, that things were getting a little sideways, you know, the communications between season, I'm taking a trip over to Europe, even though it's mandatory minicamp. I had this planned already. They knew I had a plan. Like it just seems like things were a little disjointed there, to where if things started getting sideways, it was probably going to fall back on the head coach a hell of a lot more than it was on the franchise quarterback, first ballot Hall of Famer, four-time MVP guy, who's pretty much pulling the damn strings up there. So we've seen this before. We've seen this kind of thing before, where a franchise quarterback has a hell of a lot more power and influence over ownership and what direction a franchise takes than even the head coach, especially a quote-unquote defensive head coach who was under fire coming into the season anyway about, you know, making sure you maximize the potential of a football team that everyone said all they needed was to get rid of Zach Wilson and get a quarterback, and we're rolling. We're the number one seed in the NFC. We have a shutdown defense, blah, 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 blah. They weren't going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. They could have gotten rid of Nathaniel Hackett, I guess, but they weren't going to get rid of him either as the OC, because that's Aaron's guy. So none of that shocks me. That's how things go. That's how things go in the NFL. Someone's always going to fall on the sword. It's more times than not going to be the head coach, although you could have made a case for it being any number of other things that are going wrong up there. And I think as the season plays itself out, Jeff Ulbrich, the new head coach, isn't going to all of a sudden fix them. If they turn crap around up there, it ain't going to be because Jeff Ulbrich just, you know, figured out how to get this running game going and how to get this offensive line being better than, you know, bottom quarter in the NFL in run block and pass block win rate. That ain't going to be because of anything Jeff Ulbrich said. Nothing. At all. They're not going to protect the passer better because something Jeff Ulbrich comes up with. Nothing. At all. The Jets have a lot of other stuff going on other than Robert Saleh not being the guy who can quote-unquote provide a spark, which is one of the most annoying damn things I hear people tell. Well, he's going to give them a spark. No, he's not. He's not going to give them a spark. The team, in the, you know, the guys in the locker room will give them a spark by playing better, by protecting better, by Aaron making better passes. That's what they'll do. That's what will change it around. So nothing in the league shocks me about this. Look, I like Robert, know him, have talked to him in a professional manner many different times. This is just the NFL, dude. It's not for long, as you all know, if you aren't winning.
Yeah, 2-3 last year through five games with 93 points scored when Zach Wilson was their quarterback. 2-3 this year through five games with 93 points scored with Aaron Rodgers.
I'm in the upside down.
Quarterback.
Wow.
And they've been the number one defensive team in the league since the day they hired Saleh in terms of EPA per play. Hey, Lewis, we could keep chatting, but we know you're busy. We'll listen to you on the call and watch you this weekend. Florida, number 8, Tennessee. You'll see a stud quarterback in that game, ESPN, on Saturday night. Thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
Of course. But you got it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Lewis.
There's Lewis Riddick of ESPN on Grant and Danny.